Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot On-Site Training. Do you need training for your Drupal web team? Lullabot's staff of expert Drupal trainers can come on-site to your place of work with a curriculum customized just for you. Past training clients include Stanford University, Arizona State University, Best Buy, The Economist, Popular Science, the U.S. Department of Commerce, Turner Broadcasting, and many more. We've trained thousands of new Drupal developers, and we'll get your team up and running with the knowledge that they'll need to make your Drupal project a success. Visit lullabot.com/training or call 877-LULLABOT for more information.
My name is Greg Dunlap, and I am the maintainer of the services module. I actually didn't write most of the services module. Most of the services module was written by a guy named Scott Nelson and a group of people who contributed to it later. And what happened was, as they started drifting off into other projects, the module was starting to kind of languish a little bit, and so I stepped up and volunteered to take it over and kind of push it out the door for the next version and take care of the Drupal 7 port and stuff like that. So while I am the maintainer, I'm mostly acting as cat herder rather than coder at this point.
So maybe talk about, like, what would be an example of the input and output of the services module?
So the services module is really kind of a abstracted, how's the best way to put this? I could throw a lot of buzzwords out at it, but in the talk that I'm giving on Monday, what I simplify it down to is that services makes Drupal mashable. And so what it is it allows you to expose your Drupal data, like nodes and users and taxonomy and things like that, to external websites or mobile applications or kiosks or Flash applications. And it allows you to pluggably implement a transport mechanism like REST or SOAP or AMFPHP, and then pluggably implement an authentication system like Drupal sessions or API keys or OAuth. And it includes some services for core objects like nodes and users and taxonomies and things like that. Or you can create your own services for your own data, whatever you're building, and you can kind of swap all of this stuff around without having to change your own code. So for instance, if you write some code to return a bunch of data related to your application and you are using the SOAP server, and then all of a sudden you decide, I'm sick of SOAP, I want to change to more of a REST-based functionality, you can just sort of swap the servers out and change none of your backend code, and it'll all work on its own. And so from a development standpoint, that sort of pluggability and swappability is really cool. But it also allows you to sort of not worry about writing a bunch of menu callbacks and writing a bunch of rendering code for JSON or whatever it is you need to use. You can just focus on taking in data and returning data and let services take care of the rest.
So a site like Twitter has api.twitter.com or ways to basically query and get the latest tweets. It sounds like with the services module, you could presumably just feed out whatever recent information is coming in. Is that accurate, or what else would sort of be used with the services module?
Well, for instance, there's a guy named Jingsheng Wang who wrote a really cool mobile app. He's the webmaster or main programmer for a craft beer fan site called grapebrewers.com, and he made a mobile app to interact with it. And so a lot of what he does in his mobile app is, for instance, users log in with their grapebrewers.com account, and that uses Drupal session logins through the services module, and then they are able to retrieve, for instance, the list of their favorite beers, because on the website they can flag their favorite beers or their favorite bars, and then through the mobile application, it sends a request to Drupal and says, through the services module, show me all of this user's favorite beers, and gets that data back in JSON, and then he parses it and displays it in the mobile application. And then it also has a way for them to, on the mobile application, flag a bar that they're nearby because they've got the GPS as their favorite, and then it saves that information back to Drupal, again, through the services module, through this standard interface. And so we're seeing a lot more activity in the mobile space for services for people wanting to communicate and get data in and out of their Drupal sites. In the last couple of years, the biggest use has been for people who want to do Flash front ends for their Drupal sites. It's the same concept. It was just usually a lot of the focus was on Flash, and now we're seeing a lot more mobile activity. And I'm sure we'll see, as the usages and accessibility for data in all of these different places for desktop apps and all sorts of things want to communicate with Drupal, I think we're going to see a lot more activity in services and wanting to be able to, you know, expose your data to the world in ways that people can get to it.
Yeah, so it sounds like if someone wanted to make an iPhone app that was gathering information, it would seem pretty logical to investigate using Drupal as the back end to store all that, even if it's not user-facing. Is that accurate, or maybe some other examples that you think of in that way?
If I were making an application, that is what I would do. And, you know, it's just like if you're building a website, right? Drupal offers you a lot of the core functionality that you need, and you can just focus on the stuff that's custom for yourself. And for an app like an iPhone app or a mobile app or something like that, it's the same thing. You can have a standardized interface that all of your apps talk to it, and you can roll out all of these different front end for it and have a single administrative interface and a single place for data to go in and out. And I think that would be a totally workable and sensible solution for somebody who wanted a data backend or a content backend for a mobile application. And actually, there is actually a session here for doing iPhone development with services. But the amazing thing was that when I was looking through the session list, there were actually 5 sessions proposed for doing mobile applications with services in Drupal, which shows what a huge growth thing this is all of a sudden.
And what are some of the big points that you're going to be making in your presentation with regards to the services module?
The big thing that we're doing is I'm just doing an introduction to the module, and then I'm going to talk a little about the new stuff that's coming in the next version. A guy from Sweden named Hugo Wetterberg actually kind of forked and rewrote a lot of services on his own, and he was submitting patches back and stuff like this. And at some point after I put out the final of the version 2 of services, we were talking about what we were going to do for the next version and for the D7 port. And finally, I just said, look, let's just take your stuff and use it as the basis for the new version. And he was thrilled. And so it introduces a lot more flexibility than we had in the old version. For instance, in the old version, if you had an XML RPC server, you could only tie one method of authentication to it. And now it's a lot more flexible. You can define custom endpoints with any unique combination of server and authentication. And so you could expose a REST service that's public and has no authentication, but also expose a REST service that requires authentication for the services that you have that need it. So that'll be really useful, especially for people who want to expose APIs. Last.fm has some services that are public and some that require authentication for getting user information. So I hope that'll expand our usage a lot. We're also going to spend a lot more time making things a lot more consistent in the API, documenting the API a lot better. The documentation has been really poor, and it's caused a lot of support requests for us. And so we're going to spend a lot of time on developer experience stuff, really focusing on making it easier to implement things as much as possible. And then we also have some possible corporate sponsorship of the services module coming up. It's not quite locked down, so I don't want to spill the beans yet, but that would offer all of us who are working on the module a lot more time to focus not just on the things that absolutely have to get done, but for also doing things. You know, one of the reasons that things like API documentation and testing framework and stuff get pushed off is because, you know, probably there's only 5 really active core members of services, and we've all got jobs and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, having somebody sponsoring us to work on the module and maintain it and make sure that it's working well gives us a lot more freedom to really clean and cleanse and polish off the edges of a lot of stuff that we wouldn't necessarily have the time to. So I'm super excited about that, and hopefully that'll come to fruition and all work out.
And finally, maybe you could just talk a bit about what's happening now at the Code Sprint with the services module.
We have a Code Sprint today, and then we're running another one on Wednesday for services. And I kind of announced that I was going to have a Code Sprint, but I didn't really actually expect anyone to come. And so I didn't really have any plans. And some people showed up. And so basically what we're focusing on is converting the version 2 for services to version 3 and looking into the Drupal 7 port. And so I've got people working on that and trying to get some of that documentation that I was talking about in line. One of the nice things about having new people new to the module, because the people who are working on it right now haven't done much with services before, and I actually think it's a lot better having people who are learning write documentation. So I've been trying to stress to them that when they encounter problems or things that were confusing or stuff like that, to start getting it into the handbook pages and stuff like that, because I don't, you know, I've been using it for so long, I don't think about that stuff anymore. And so That's another thing we're trying to focus on. We might do some issue queue work and stuff like that, but really the code sprinting is going to be about getting the new version up and getting going on porting to Drupal 7. So.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.